Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. Watch, chop, retrofit.
It does help. It helps a lot because we are here in the shop. We're here in the Cinema Chop Shop, but we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants. We were expecting to do this yesterday, but I got my days mixed up. And so we're doing it today, but that did allow for us to actually have guests here on the show. If you didn't know...
And what show is this, Travis?
Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop.
What do we do here?
This is a movie podcast. What's going on? It concedes that remakes are going to happen. So why shouldn't movie buffs like us decide who is recast in those iconic roles? At the top, we got to mention our online presence. We are on Twitter. It's at Cinema Chop Shop.
Tweet it.
And then on Facebook, we are facebook.com/cinemachopshop. And then our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. We didn't get any emails this week that I'm aware of. I check it infrequently. My name is Travis, and I'll be your host, but also your master sensei.
You're going to be our Benchy.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm not going to do that. And I'm joined here in the dojo by our engineer, editor, producer extraordinaire, the Canadian in your brain again, Andrew Tay. Say hello to the listeners.
Hello, listeners.
Very good. He bowed slightly. Yes. In addition, we are extremely excited to welcome to the show three guests today. We've got, in order of clockwise, the sister to my mister. No, my sister from another mister.
The sister to your mister?
It's Hillary. Hillary's in the house.
Oh, domo arigato.
Domo. Oh, you say arigato. We say arigato. This is going to get really racist really fast.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, we're not doing that. We're not doing the Japanese accents. And then also just past Hillary to my right, the brew boss is here, sitting way higher than everybody. I feel a little bit like subservient, as though maybe...
carryover from the timeline.
A little carryover from last week's time travel episode, wherein Sean traveled back in time to supplant me as host of the show.
Oh,
but
wow.
I'm back, baby. I'm back. I came back to the future.
Comeback.
I've been here for years. And then also, to my left, you know him, you love him, it's your boy Mark.
What up, what up?
I call him Marco. He loves it when I do that.
It's great. Thanks, Travis. Name's Mark.
Further description of the show. My lovely wife, Michelle.
Drink.
Are we drinking every time we say Michelle?
No, my lovely wife, Michelle. You haven't listened to the last episode.
Somebody should clue Hillary in as to the drinking game.
I have been... out
this
of
is mostly
the
for
loop.
The listeners, but we're also going to do it.
Okay.
If I say my lovely wife, Michelle.
What you say every time you say her name.
Yes. And, or, Sean says acting chops.
Yep.
Or, if anyone says...
I like chops, too. I say that again.
At the height of their powers. Then anybody who's here or listening...
Is that one that gets used
yeah,
a lot?
Yeah, it's part
okay.
of our thing.
Okay.
And then, so anybody who's listening or participating, when we say either of those, any of those three phrases, they have to drink. Like okay. a small drink. So, further description of the show. The tagline at the top says, watch, chop, retrofit, because that's basically what we do here. Essentially what we do here. We take older movies, sometimes classic films, sometimes with iconic actors, and we chop them up.
Sometimes movies we've never seen.
Sometimes movies that we don't even care for. But sometimes they're amazing, and sometimes they're very influential. And
exactly.
Then hypothetically, we recast them with contemporary actors. Sometimes actors who are at the height of their powers.
Clink, clink.
That's what we mean by retrofit. And we should also go ahead and say that it's purely an experiment of the mind. We're not encouraging remakes because it's kind of artistically a cop-out, is what I'm saying.
In many ways, yes.
That's kind of the purpose of the show. We're ironically doing this to encourage actual, like, artistic integrity.
Okay.
So, energy drink check-in. We're going to do this real quick because I go from 0 to 100 real quick. Andrew wants us to cut this section down a little bit because it took like 7 or 8 minutes last time. So we've got
7 or 8 minutes. Yeah, are you kidding me?
So we've got a couple of.
Is this the other one?
The amazing energy drinks.
Well, one of them has a nice narrative on the back.
Oh, that's good.
We're just reading ingredients.
It's really good. It's Monster Energy Ultra Black, and it's got a really nice, like dark red color. And it's also zero calorie.
Or right from the mouth.
What? Zero calorie, yeah.
Don't mix.
Don't mix it with
I
beer.
Thought Sean was offering me some. I'm not sure if that's what he was doing or not.
She took it anyway. I rolled with it.
Drink out of his cup. That one was all right. I'm not an energy drink person by any means. The second,
and then we also have...
Second one. It's a Red Bull sugar-free. It was... pretty common. I think everyone's probably had this. It tastes way better, I think, with a shot of Jaeger in it.
Jaeger and sugar-free Red Bull.
Especially the sugar-free part.
Yeah.
Gets you jacked. Yes. Gives you wings and hooves and...
various things.
Yes. Night vision.
That's what I'm there for. Night vision. Awesome.
So we're done with the energy drinks.
Wrapping it up.
That was basically it.
That's a lightning round. They're okay.
If Monster or Red Bull wants to send us a sponsorship investment, we would love that. Give us the money. All right. So that brings us to the Department of Corrections department. Does anybody have any corrections from last week's episode? I didn't get any tweets.
I don't know if this is a correction, and this is from way back when y'all did the football movies.
Okay, gosh.
Oh, yeah. And of all the football movies y'all talked about, for me to pull out Adam Sandler's The Longest
Yard. The
Water Boy. That's what it's called, right? The remake Burt Reynolds and Adam Sandler.
Nelly.
And I think you said something about him being arrested for...
heroin.
That is not true.
It was his bus.
It was not heroin.
It was methamphetamines, actually.
And he was not charged with possession of those.
Because he shouldn't have been. It was just someone on his bus.
Yeah. I mean, I think he pled guilty to charges of marijuana.
So,
but
what I want to know is, how long have you been on retainer as Nelly's defense attorney?
We go way back, baby. down, baby.
All right, so that will go ahead and end the very appropriate... installment of Department of Corrections Department. And we're moving to the theme of the episode, which on my notes is literally blank, but we've said a little bit about samurais.
My notes?
We've said a little bit about Star Wars? Did we say anything about Star Wars?
If you're
a regular listener and Facebook follower, then you'll have seen the awesome picture that went up yesterday. When we decided to alter the theme of the episode to not just samurai movies, but also the influence of samurai films.
Talk about... Star Wars, but
I would argue...
Is this a component of the podcast?
Yeah.
I would argue a lot of different movies.
I sent you a whole message.
You sent me a picture.
Okay, you guys...
You said you were changing a style, and you sent me a picture of Darth Vader holding a samurai sword.
So...
that was it.
That was true.
I swear.
Yeah, but then also, right after that,
I'm changing it to pray I don't change it any further.
Yeah.
I got a picture that also had the Star Wars thing in it, and I chose to ignore it.
Because Star Wars, The Last Jedi, just came out, and also December 14th is December 14th, yesterday was the 47 Ronin
a Thursday.
47 Ronin Remembrance Day.
Yes, which is why we were doing this. Which yeah. I have to say, and I haven't counted yet, how many times I misspelled samurai in my notes, but that was a big
I always put an extra U or an extra I.
That says samurai. Sure. Samurai. Later on.
In honor of 47 Ronin about? Remembrance Day, the revenge of the 47 Ronin, also known as the Eiko Incident or the Eiko Vendetta, is an 18th century historical event in Japan in which a band of Ronin, which are leaderless samurai,
They're just wilding out with their souls.
They avenged the death of their master. I guess that.
Oh, that's why they're without a master. Yeah, that's what makes them wild.
And the incident has since become legendary. But I would say so. We're also talking about how the Japanese film industry and samurai films were a very heavy influence on George Lucas and Star Wars.
And I am going to take it away from Star Wars and talk about the other movies.
Do it.
Later on. Okay, not right this second. I mean, so, we're just going to open this up, digging in, to watch
a YouTube video from film school.
You did shush us many times throughout
the video. Yes. And I said, Vinci, I was listening.
Should check out. We posted it on the Facebook page and the Twitter feed. It's from Film Schooled, and it is all about the breakdown.
Oh, is this when you went to Film Schooled?
I barely went to regular school.
You was barely schooled at all. Yes.
The video on YouTube is basically about the breakdown of how samurai films, specifically Akira Kurosawa, was a very heavy influence on George Lucas, to the point where the term Jedi is based on a particular, there's only really two or three types of samurai films, but one of them is called Jidaigeki. Something like that. We're definitely wrong about the pronunciation. Geki.
Hopefully, Andrew can drop in the house section.
I wrote an A, but there is an E on top of that A, so it I don't even know what that means in English.
Material for the next Department of Corrections department.
Please. please correct us.
So even to the extent that Darth Vader's helmet looks like a samurai's helmet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, well, I'm not going to say too much, but in the new one.
Don't spoil the new Star Wars.
I'm not spoiling.
Shut your mouth.
Well, listen, in the new one, which I've seen.
Shut your mouth.
With.
No.
Oh.
All I'm going to say is there are some Imperial guards
who are wearing those helmets.
On wearing samurai costumes.
Samurai's costumes.
There's Imperials in this movie, Travis?
There's what?
There's Imperials in this movie?
Well, they're First Order.
I feel like I've been spoiled.
I'm not the Star Wars nuts yeah. that you twos, yeah. maybe. The pair of nuts you two, maybe.
I mean, everybody's a Star Wars fan.
But I was going to say, like, one of the, I think, the most obvious, samurai Jedi like correlations is the mastering skills, you have to do. And I looked it up. So to become a samurai, you have to get basically your BS, your bachelor's of samurai. It takes at the least 4 years.
Bullshit as well.
Or bachelor's of science, but at least if you're starting with some experience, 4 years. The very minimum, four years.
To become a samurai. Okay.
I Googled it.
I don't think that's it. I don't think there's college involved in becoming a samurai.
Well, I mean, probably traditionally it took probably 15 to 20 years.
There's the equivalent of getting your bachelor's in science?
Oh, I was joking. That was a joke. Oh my God.
I missed it.
I will not use that one at open mic night. Okay. Jesus Christ.
So it takes four years.
I was saying the minimum of 4 years. So you got to at least get your bachelor's there.
So we already also established that a Ronin is a samurai without a master. And you were talking about the relationship between the samurai and the master.
Yes.
That's kind of the same as the Padawan and the Jedi Master.
Yes, and it's a lifetime of training, or what you come into it with experience, or, you know, I feel like, I mean, I'm not, I have to say, I'm not on top of my Star Wars game, but aren't there a couple who come in that are just, like, naturally good? Just like, oh, he's good. Let's, you know, I've been at Disney. Let's fast pass him to, like, the next level.
Like a chosen
right?
one?
Yeah, like the...
Yeah.
Like a, yeah, like a Neo.
So they don't have to go through training, though.
They have to go through training, but really even badass. A samurai who has experience
has to
do the 4 years of training... Specifically, samurai training.
I like
from
it.
My rough Google searching.
You have done more research than I have at this point. My
I have to be honest. I did it while
like a serial killer.
I did it after you hushed me while we were watching those movies. Just googled it real quick. Like, how long does it take to become a samurai? What's in a booger?
Now?
Like, I mean, yes, like all of that was.
That is amazing. So I guess that kind of gives the listeners a idea of the theme of the episode.
We're talking
about samurai movies, and but we're also talking about their influence on the Star Wars franchise.
Yes,
yeah. Right?
And cinema
in general.
From this corner,
westerns.
And I think Sean will probably throw some business in.
You're not gonna throw any business.
I think he will. I think.
What about the influence of Japanese cinema on spaghetti westerns, like for example the Seven Samurai and the Magnificent Seven.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty much a corollary.
Well, yeah,
the films.
Parallels are really, really tight on those. So
One of the things, like just that I googled samurai, and then when it corrected to how you actually how you actually spell samurai, a samurai movie is a sword fighting movie
or a lightsaber movie.
Well, I mean, they use that in place. Mm-hmm. They train many of the actors, especially nowadays, like I was saying earlier, the three Star Wars that are perhaps not the most popular.
The prequels.
Yes. They did training, like samurais. You can watch it. The behind the scenes footage. It's on the DVDs. You know, that's one of the things that the people who choreographed these lightsaber fights, since the original Star Wars, it's kept on. It's a theme still running. Even in the ones we're not crazy about.
Right.
It is essential to the use of the lightsaber. I mean, that's how the lightsaber is designed, basically, is to be used like a sword that you can turn on and off. Blade-wise, you know. Less chances of cutting your pants whilst holstering.
Speaking of cutting our pants.
Oh, goodness.
Let's do our midnight double feature.
All right.
There's
okay,
no,
so I did actually have some questions about this midnight double feature. Okay.
Yes.
Mark's got whiplash, but he'll recover because I had some questions. It's been a while.
Whiplash.
Beverly Hills Ninja. Was there sword fighting? Would we consider that a samurai movie or is that a ninja film?
It's a ninja movie, but I think that you could count it.
There's no wrong answers.
This is just out of question.
We never
Big Trouble in Little China. Samurai film.
No, like, samurai is Japan, so...
Oh, that was... I feel like you're implying that's a Chinese
culturally
China. Yeah, that's true. People would be. Not
I feel
happy.
Like I also should have picked that up before.
It's easier to ask.
Having been in the title and whatnot, my goodness. We'll edit that out, Andrew. He's not paying attention.
or
please.
We can't see his face.
He's transcribing.
Don't even send that into Department of Corrections. We corrected that ourselves.
We corrected
it. Please do. Please do write in. Please do write in. He would love it.
So,
that would be fantastic.
Midnight
double features. And
I've got to. Okay. Well, you want to go ahead and I will
because I actually really do like
I've got two
both
also.
Of these movies.
Okay.
One I haven't seen in a long time, but I liked it a lot. I named a cat after it, Ghost Dog, The Way of Samurai.
Forrest Whitaker. And the soundtrack by the RZA.
Of course, the Wu Tang. How are you gonna be samurai without Wu Tang? Like, seen that and movie. Yes. It's of course it. Forest Whitaker.
Never saw. I've also got
and Forest Whitaker is a song, but is it the Wu Tang or is it Cypress Hill?
That's a different group. Department of Corrections.
Department of Corrections, y'all correct us on that song, Forest Whitaker, and because I mean I don't know how you can't. Like, not love this movie. It's a bit, you know, it's a modern samurai, beautiful, mm-hmm. like almost ballet-esque, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Very,
it's just
well choreographed.
So amazing. Mm-hmm. And the story is so great. It reminded me a lot, like, just even reading the descriptions of these movies I didn't watch. I'm like,
It almost had
the effect. Yeah.
Andrew would also like us not to say if we haven't seen the movies on the podcast, but I say fuck it.
Well, I mean, honestly, I tried to watch a movie, but I just did not get a chance to watch these. So, like,
but you're
I'm going
here,
to be honest, I'm here.
Sweet content.
I've looked them up. I've thought about them. I've not only thought about the actors for the recasting, but I've thought about some directors that I think could make this a more modern version.
Directors.
Which nice. I mean, we don't talk much
about
directors.
About
we're just talking. We're fine.
But I think that directing can make or break a remake.
It can make a break.
And I will be rapping about that later on.
Later on, outside.
At Club 231. Hit me up at 1 a.m.
Also, Club 231 is not a thing anymore. It's where I met my wife. All right, so the second film in your double feature, Hillary.
Was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. So Ghost Dog and Crouching Tiger.
Yeah, good.
Two modern, I think,
also,
specific.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is Chinese.
Sorry. God damn it. Okay. And it,
then fuck it.
Beverly Hills Ninja and Big Trouble in Little China are my samurai picks. All right,
love it.
Double feature.
Love it.
Okay.
Play it.
Anybody else?
I got some choices of actual Japanese stuff, but they're not movies. They're anime.
Okay.
So I chose Samurai Champloo and Cowboy Bebop for my two choices. Yes.
I know nothing about
either one of those things. Okay.
But I've heard that Cowboy Bebop is a really good thing.
I think Cowboy Bebop might be a goat as far as animes go.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. It's like from the 90s.
What do you mean,
Ghost
goat?
In the
like
show?
Greatest of all time?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know. What are those acronyms? Sorry. But yeah, anime, the Cowboy Bebop's.
Really good.
Other than Akira.
Mm-hmm. There's like 16 episodes of Cowboy Bebop.
So the
or two of the most popular
called Akira.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think it might be a reference to Akira Kurosawa?
No,
it's a nuclear.
No, it is a Vietnamese anime.
So
it's not.
No. You're messing with me. You got me.
Oh,
I got Mark on the way in here.
About what now?
I told you it was the wrong door.
You did. That's true.
After he knocked.
As I was knocking on the door, it's like, wrong door. I was like, oh no, I jumped back. Samurai Champloo, really good actual samurai kind of, you know, manga or whatever you want to call it.
Anime, I call it Japanimation.
Anime series, I think is what you'd actually call it. With hip-hop soundtrack. It was really good. I would recommend it. Watch a trailer sometime. Samurai Champloo and Cowboy Bebop. Both
so
really good.
Are you saying Champloo? Or shampoo.
I'm saying C-H-A-M-P-L-O-O.
Shampoo.
Sure.
Not what you put in your hair. Okay, I thought you were just slurring the word shampoo.
Oh, no, yeah. They never actually say that either. That's just the name of the anime.
Okay.
Samurai Champloo and Cowboy Bebop.
I like him.
Check it out.
So, I just now misused the term Japanimation because that's what they called it when it first like was arriving here in
the
States.
That was
the
first marketing push for it. Yeah,
Japanimation.
Japanimation.
And the other day at the brewery, a good friend of ours who might be a future guest on the show, Nathan, I think sincerely used the term Japanimation.
He may have. I can
I
see
think
him doing
he
that.
Really did.
Possibly.
Use it, like, in earnest. And I just want to know if it's still cool to use that term.
I think you just call it anime or
anime.
Anime
or manga.
If you're way too into it. Manga refers to the comics.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So, is it down to me? Have you got a double?
Yeah, I could. I'll throw out a couple.
Okay.
Lone Wolf and Cub.
They are doing an American remake of that.
Yeah, for anybody who doesn't know, it's the story of a Ronin who wanders the countryside of Japan with a small child. And those came out in the 70s, and in, I think at the same time, or shortly afterwards, they created a manga series that documented that, and it came to America in the 80s. That's when I became aware of it. But that's a good series. And for shits and giggles, I'll throw out The Last Samurai.
With Tom Cruise?
Yes!
Don't say his name again, you motherfuckers. All right, so, yeah, that's...
It's the Travis conspiracy.
Hillary has a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy of one that I'm actually infatuated with Tom Cruise. That's not
we'll
the case.
See.
I just grew up in an era where he was like the go-to guy for movies, and so like
you're right. I wasn't alive during the same amount of
time. Yeah, you're super young. Or
2004.
Speaking of young, I'm going with a movie from 1985 called Ron. R-A-N. Also...
Vron?
Ron. Oh. R-A-N.
It might be Ron about this, Travis.
No.
It might be Ron about it as well.
Well, I learned the pronunciation from our mutual art history teacher, Dr. Howell.
Okay.
It's called Ron from 1985. It's rated R. And it is in medieval Japan, an elderly warlord retires handing over his empire... he retires, handing over his empire to his three sons. However, he vastly underestimates how the newfound power will corrupt them and cause them to turn on each other.
How could you underestimate that?
Right?
Kids be trifling, like
yeah. And especially if you're a warlord and you're retiring, you know they want the spoils.
Yeah, they're gonna be killing each other off. They're gonna be, you know.
And for
sleeping
my second,
with each other probably because they're weird. That's all what, wait, all the weird
the
like
sons? Maybe.
Yeah, probably.
my second film for the midnight double feature in the samurai movies.
Game of Thrones.
Telltale Hearts. No, what was that? House of Usher, sorry.
Is another samurai inspired film called Spaceballs. No, just joking. It was.
I don't know. Big Trouble in Little China. Come on.
Yeah. It's actually called Yojimbo from 1961. Oh, and it's a crafty Ronin. He comes to town divided by two criminal gangs and decides to play them against each other to free the town. So Yojimbo.
I've heard
and
of that. Never
Ron.
Seen that.
They're about 24 years apart in terms of Akira Kurosawa's portfolio, his discography, filmography, that is.
Is Ron the prequel to Captain Ron?
Yes.
Yes, Kurt Russell, right?
They're playing Hide the Salami in the shower.
Before he became the captain, he was just Ron. It's great.
I love it. I'm the captain now.
Look at me.
All right.
Okay, so
on to the next one. On to the next one, or... What do we need
that
now?
Will do the that will do it for the midnight double feature, which brings us to
we haven't even began
the first
have we?
Film.
We
haven't started.
The first film in our feature segment, which is the recast, and it's Rashomon, which is from 1950, also by Akira Kurosawa. Akira Kurosawa.
100% on the Rotten Tomatoes.
100%. You literally 100%. Can't. You literally can't get a better score.
There's no better mater than 100%
mater. Those are green tomatoes. They are so not rotten. They're green and they're fried.
They are.
And
they can be fried or they can wait out a day or two and be just as delicious.
Set them on the windowsill.
That's right. You know how it is. You know.
So, Rashomon.
That's enough about tomatoes.
1950 is
go deeper into that.
Sometimes considered
another podcast.
Well, a lot of times considered to be one of the best, if not the best, film of all time, because of its influence and because of the plot device that
it's stories within stories, basically.
The meta plot device that it incorporated it was one of the first things to ever involve multiple accounts of the same event that were conflicting with each other that allowed the viewer to decide.
It's about reality, for sure, individual reality, to see it,
to see the individual realities and have a chance to respond before usually, and it's called the Rashomon effect now, mm-hmm. and it's used a lot in cinema, mm-hmm. but typically the last story told is typically the true story of the Rashomon effect. But there was a twist with this one. But okay, some of the greatest movies with the Rashomon effect would be Citizen Kane. Everyone's Story, Courage Under Fire, Ghost Dog, one of my picks.
They were very aware of what they were doing.
Yeah, and what I put down as the one that, like, when I read what the Rashomon effect actually was, and I thought, oh, I wonder if this is what it was the Gone Girl Rosamund Pike and Ben Affleck from just a few years ago, Oscar nominated for either actresses. I don't know if it was best film, but
it was nominated
for some awards.
Would the Girl on the Train qualify?
I don't know. I didn't see that one, so I have to say.
Isn't that really boring, Travis?
Well, I mean, it depends on what perspective you have.
But I feel like you see this a lot even in just television. Like, It's Always Sunny has episodes mm-hmm. like this. Definitely. I mean, I'm it's trying to think of some other ones. Family Guy. I mean, like, mm-hmm. just South Park. Everything. Like, any show you could imagine has used probably this Rashomon effect in an episode or so. Like, RuPaul's Drag Race, my goodness, they built a... It is true. They did it. They did it from everyone's perspective. So Michelle's, RuPaul's, and...
A quick breakdown of the storyline.
The synopsis.
Quick shout-out to Wikipedia. A priest, a woodcutter, and another man are taking refuge from a rainstorm in the shell of a former gatehouse called Rashomon. And you can see the name Rashomon on the gates. The priest and the woodcutter are recounting the story of a murdered samurai whose body the woodcutter discovered 3 days earlier in a forest grove. In a grove is the book that the story is based off.
Yeah. Yes.
Both were summoned to testify at the murder trial. The priest who ran into the samurai and his wife traveling through the forest just before the murder occurred. Three other people who testify at the trial are supposedly the only direct witnesses. A notorious bandit named Tajomaru, who allegedly murdered the samurai and raped his wife, the white-veiled cloaked wife of the samurai. All of this. That's enough. So basically, okay. there's a murder and a rape, mm-hmm. and it's all about the...
It's a whodunit.
These different intersecting stories / contradicting stories.
Yes, of the bystander versus what is clearly a triangle between a bandit.
And they use triangles throughout the entire movie. Yes. If you look at the way it's shot,
the rule of three.
There's triangles all through that
which
movie.
The rule of thirds is a very important concept in photography as well as cinematography. Mm-hmm. You always want to break it down. Triangles are appealing. They have a lot of mystical powers. People can connect easily to three.
Films to use indirect lighting. Mm-hmm. He used mirrors to dapple light through the forest and like use natural light reflected through mirrors.
This movie, from what I read about it, was way ahead of its time in terms of the lighting.
Yep.
The sound.
Remember the first time they'd used rain to like punctuate a dramatic thing, like at the end of the movie when the rain stopped.
In fact, they had to actually dye the water they were using black
because they were using fire trucks,
where you can see the black ink
running
used in the water.
That colors the actors.
So it's basically the story goes of each the woodcutter, the wife. The samurai is the one who has been killed, and the bandit are the ones who give their testimonies about what happened. And, of course, each story is different,
right?
And they're doing this in front of the priest. So
And the priest, they say, outcome, the stand-in for Kurosawa. Yeah. He's, right. like, yeah. he's like that guy's
the outcome.
And we're not recasting the priest.
No, we're recasting the four.
The woodcutter.
The wife.
The samurai. And the bandit.
Yes.
So I guess the question that we have to answer at this point is, are we recasting it with American
actors? This one, I have to be honest, I don't know their actual Asian descent, but right. they are all of Asian persuasion. Asian persuasion. For this
that.
One.
I did a mix.
The second one, I did a wild card. I did say that I thought Steve McQueen, who directed Shame, Hunger, 12 Years a Slave, would be an good director.
Steve McQueen.
Yes, yeah. the director. Not the actor. Dead actor, Steve McQueen.
Not contemporary, not at the height of his powers.
Not. Okay, I'm out of beer. Come on. We're all out of beer. All
right, so let's go ahead and get this recast okay. over with, you guys.
Okay, the woodcutter.
Come on.
The woodcutter. I went Ken Jeong.
Dr. Ken.
Hangover, yes. The Community.
Like so he's the standby, I'm sorry, the standerby.
An actual doctor.
Yeah.
Who
yes.
is the person who might have been the only reliable witness to this actual
yes.
He's indecisive and indifferent.
Right. He is indifferent. But I think you see a touch of compassion in him, perhaps yeah. more so than you might see in some of the other characters later on.
We should say that the original role was played by Takashi Shimura, and the character was Kikori. And
the woodcutter.
And so, Sean, you got one for this guy? No?
Nothing. We're going to keep asking him.
I'm pulling a Clerks today. I wasn't even supposed to be here.
I'm kind of going.
We
with
all
the same
had
approach
to work
because I have. Did,
if you don't, I would
I know,
say.
I know.
If you don't right, have so anyone, or you can't
somebody.
Think of anyone who would
with,
play
no,
that
no,
character,
I'm going with Matt Damon.
Okay.
Matt Damon is my woodcutter.
Okay, sure, great choice, Travis. So I chose a South Korean actor. He was in Old Boy and I Saw the Devil. He's
yes,
like 55 now. Choi Min Sik. Looks like this guy.
Yeah,
they would line up well with the woodcutter.
Yeah,
kind of
really.
A stoic actor guy, you know, maybe helpful, but he's got his ways. So, yeah, that's who I chose.
Very cool.
Choi Min Sik, South
okay.
Korean.
Andrew?
That was funny.
All right,
okay,
so the next role is the role of the wife.
I chose Jamie Chung.
Okay.
Originally, you would know her from The Real World, MTV's The Real World, but she went on to actually have an acting career. She was in, I believe, the last two Hangovers as Ed Helms' character's wife.
Okay.
She was in that show Office Christmas Party. Also, she was in a show called Samurai Girl at some point.
No!
I have not looked into what
that
is a show about. But
all right, Marco, you clearly have a pick.
Hot.
I got some picks. Here's another picture. So we're going to have pictures as the wife. This is another South Korean lady. She played Lady Vengeance in some South Korean horror revenge movie, which is pretty good. Her name is Young A. Lee. So, there you go. That's who I chose.
Okay.
It's hard to choose actresses, you guys.
So, I had two. Once again,
I'm
on the
you
hot
had more.
Seat here.
Okay. Sympathy for Lady Vengeance.
I'm going with the wife. She's kind of somebody who's in mourning, and she's befallen by misfortune.
You say that. I think she's trifling as can be.
Ooh.
Sorry.
So
ooh.
It depends
I'm calling
on
her
it
out.
Depends on which perspective
it is
which narrative.
It
right?
really does, yeah.
Trifling. So I'm gonna go with a character actress who's probably
most
somebody
famous.
That I've used before, and I'm gonna go with Kristen Ritter. For the wife.
I thought you were going to go with
No.
Okay.
I know what you're going to say. She's going to say Elizabeth Olsen.
I wasn't, and then I was. I wasn't, and then I was, though. That's what's so funny.
All right. Sean, you got one?
No.
Negative?
Okay.
All right. So moving on to the next role.
Samurai.
All right.
The samurai.
The samurai. I already used Matt Damon, so I'm going to have to go.
Do you want me to go?
Oh no, I've got one.
Oh, okay.
I've got one.
If you steal mine, I've got, so mad.
No, I'm going with all American people.
Oh, okay, so, good.
Because I have no idea what I'm doing. So I'm going with a really, really good actor who's kind of a like a badass gangster type, and he's most recently been on a show called Ray Donovan. He's Ray. He's Ray Donculus.
He is Ray Donculus. I love him. Liev Schreiber.
He's my pick for the samurai.
Okay.
I like it. I like it. He was excellent in Defiance. I think I talked about that a few weeks back. Oh, gosh. So good.
All right. Marco.
All right. So what I've got here is Dwayne the motherfucking Rock Johnson from Iron Man.
What? Yes, of course. I love it. He can play the Tooth Fairy or Samurai.
He changed his name to the motherfucking Rock.
I mean, that's what it was, yeah. Kurosawa apparently told his actors to study animals in preparing for their roles. So if you look at the samurai, he's kind of like licking his hand. He's doing all kinds of like tigery stuff. And I think Dwayne Johnson would be all right with that.
So, that's my choice.
Big old animal?
No. Yeah, okay. Here's your wallet right here, Travis.
It's the one that says badass motherfucker on it.
That not was
really. Worth it.
That was
it was totally worth it.
That was painful to watch. Yeah. Over here.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, was,
and Sean was, already doesn't feel good. That
I'm
just
really
made him lean forward and I think he may be getting sick.
I do have
sick.
A pick, though.
Okay. Do you want to go first?
Because mine's crappy.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Nick Offerman.
Mm. Nick Offerman,
because it's really not pronounced just Ron Swanson.
Ron Swanson from The Office.
Because it's not pronounced Ronan, it's Ronan.
Hey.
I'm kidding. Ronan.
Ronan Sean the courage to make that joke, Travis.
Terrible joke.
You ripped the seal, man.
I love it. And you've got one. Hillary.
Okay, so with my Asian cast that I'm going with, I picked John Cho.
John Cho from
Harold and Kumar. Yeah.
Very good.
He's the character that dies, so we don't necessarily see much good or bad in him necessarily. I haven't seen the movie, but
so he's the bad guy, but he's also the one who
he's the husband. He's
no,
I mean
the
he's
bandit. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm on the next.
Yeah, one. He's the samurai. He's the husband. He's there. He's the one who gets killed. Yeah. We don't have his story, so
yeah. He's not there to recount it.
No, well, they do it through a medium, but we find out.
Maybe. It's kind of left up to the viewer, right?
Yeah.
We can't spoil anything from 1950, you guys.
How trustworthy is a medium? Who knows?
Well, it depends if they actually are.
I'd give it a five.
Medium.
A medium. On a scale of 1 to 10. It's a medium. It's five. All right.
So
the bandit.
The final role, the bandit, which I was already kind of leading into. Sorry to cut you off with yours.
No.
So we should say that it was originally portrayed by Toshiro Mifune.
The biggest actor in Japan at the time.
At the time. He was also in the second movie we're going to talk about. Huge presence in Japanese cinema. He plays the bandit, and I'm going to go first on this one. I'm going with Walton Goggins.
Ooh, you know, I love me some Walton Goggins.
He's great.
He's good, and he
you
be
can,
a good
you
bandit.
Can pick him for so many different roles. Yeah. He plays a terrific bandit.
Yep.
Okay, so next up, I've got a white guy. I chose Oscar Isaac. He always looks different in everything he does, you know, from Inside Llewyn Davis to Ex Machina.
And Star Wars,
Star
The
Wars
Last
film,
Jedi,
film. Yeah.
Which I just saw.
He's in that.
I'll wait to talk about
no
it.
Spoilers, Travis,
no
spoilers,
Travis,
please.
My official review is not a spoiler.
Okay. I chose Randall Park, who we know from The Interview, Wet Hot American Summer,
also,
the Return
fresh
of the
off
Camp.
The boat.
Yes.
He
does funny, but I'd like to see him do something serious and a little.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a little dark in The Interview when he was, like, you know,
King
pooping
Kong.
His pants and crying, but, you know, we want to see him, like, do
but
something serious. I was going to say, I think Steve McQueen, that director, could pull the most out of
a lot. Are you going back to your director?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I think the director is what's going to make the remake of this movie, because the director put so much thought into every aspect and detail.
So do we each get to pick a director
for I often think of directors for my remakes.
We're done with this movie's recasting, but my director pick would have to be an Edgar Wright. He's one of my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah,
my Mount Rushmore directors.
Oh, see, my last directorial pick that I threw out was an Edgar Wright, so I can't do one for him.
Okay, a director. I don't know.
What about some Takashi Mike?
Takashi Mike, sure. Yeah, Blade of the Immortal. Yeah, let's see that guy do it.
Be pretty good.
An extra Japanese version. Be great.
Sean.
Oh, I'm not good.
He's not even going to. Nobody can do anything better than Kurosawa did with this movie. And I guess with that, it'll take us to our intermission.
All right, Cinema Chop Shoppers, this is your host Travis, just chiming in here at the intermission to remind you to please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. We appreciate the feedback, and any review is a good review. Also, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We are at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. We're on Facebook. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. And our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. If you want to send us an email, give us some suggestions for themes for future episodes. I have about a year's worth planned out, but you're more than welcome to offer advice, and I'm open to suggestions as well. And as always, thank you for listening, and remember to watch Chop Retrofit.
Speaking of insane shit, let's come back from our intermission and do the beer check-in.
Okay.
It's a beer check-in that we do on the show. I actually have been slack and did not put the last episode's beers on Untappd. So it's something that I'm going to have to do. But we've got a few different ones. Sean, you want to introduce one here, right?
The only reason I'm here is because I spotted something on my...
And because you're awesome.
No.
He loves this shit.
I could be napping right now.
You look tired.
I was traveling in Asheville and I saw this and it spoke to me from the shelf because Andrew is an excellent editor and engineer, and wanted to get him this because it's called the Tooks of Hazard from Parallel 49 in Canada.
And he's literally wearing a
toque right now.
What is a toque?
And he's a,
I'm sorry.
For our southern friends, that's a toboggan or a sock cap or a beanie. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
in Oregon, they call them stocking caps.
But the Tooks of Hazard. So you got these two yahoos holding hockey sticks on a Zamboni. That's the ice scraping machine.
I know what this Zamboni is. Just making sure. My dream job as a child.
I've heard this story before. Yes.
And Andrew's a Canadian living in the South, and this is a beer in the South from Canada.
Very nice
from Canada.
But anyway, check it out. What's the flavor profile
about the beer? It's a wheat Imperial IPA. It's 9.2%.
So what I'm drinking right now?
No, you're drinking something else.
Looks like Mosaic.
You're looking at the glass of beer that you're currently drinking because
I keep breaking my pen.
Oh, okay. So
9.2%. Wow, in a bomber form.
The Tooks. Yeah. Tooks. Mm-hmm. Am I saying that right? Mm-hmm. The Tooks of Hazard, and they are two Canucks in the South.
Whoa.
Right?
No. I don't think that's...
Whoa.
What'd you just call him?
We can use that word. You can't use that
word. Andrew already told me that it's not a derogatory term.
I should hope not.
He was rolling his eyes.
Says who?
Wheat beer?
It's an Imperial?
Imperial IPA, but it's got
some... I thought you said a wheat beer.
Well, it's got some wheat in it. Wheat India Pale Ale.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely strong. That's a big beer.
I need a new pan.
Both in size and in... strong power. It's at the height of its powers.
All
right. So the next beer is was supplied to us by our host Travis,
and it's called Sapporo.
Sapporo.
Right?
What I'm drinking.
This is for the samurai.
Yeah, it's a Japanese beer. It's one of the best beers to get at a Japanese restaurant.
Japanese beers. In fact, I'm going to open a fresh one. You guys advance.
So the other beer that we're drinking, Travis brought a growler from the brewery. It's the Mosaic single hop series.
And what brewery is that, Sean?
Seminar Brewing.
And earlier I had the Elysian.
Space Dust. Which goes with Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Opening the beer on the mic.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of beer happening.
We do.
Beer's happening now.
Yes.
This is a product of Canada.
Oh, we got one more.
We have one more.
Yeah. I was going to say a ginger
since we're doing samurai movies, ginger beer would be a good addition. And this is a new brewery in Asheville. It's my new favorite brewery.
Ooh. Because ginger goes great with sushi.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
You nailed it, Travis.
What? You know what?
Nothing gets past you, Travis.
The brewery's called Ginger's Revenge, and since samurai movies tend to center around revenge.
I saw you the night before.
He's not the slowest one here.
Underestimate.
All right, chuckleheads.
The new Star Wars the other night. I had some sushi and some ginger right before the
sushi about the Star Wars. How about that, Travis? No spoilers. You just shushy about it.
It's a beautiful label.
Are we ready for the second movie? Yeah. Oh, are we still tasting things and taking pictures?
So what's the name of this brewery?
Ginger's Revenge.
That's the name of the brewery.
Oh, Redheads.
And this is called The Original.
Nice. Look at the label.
And yeah, they only do ginger beer?
Everything's based on their ginger beer.
It's a really...
very Art Nouveau.
I was going to say, as a art... major in art history minor, I'm totally digging this label. I'm not a big fan of ginger beer, so I'm not going to try it.
It's very influenced by Alphonse Lamucha.
Lamucha, yeah.
Yeah, I
see
Lamucha.
Of course, everyone knows he's one of my favorites.
His beer label game is on point.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, see, it's very much in the style of the Art Nouveau posters.
Yes. So, have we exhausted our tent, our sweet tent on the beer check-ins?
Yeah, let's go. Let's move on. I've got to do my
2017 movie.
That's
marathon.
What I meant. Let's move ahead to your movie marathon check-in, Travis.
You guys love it.
Always forwards.
So I'm pulling up my awesome.
Wow, that's an interesting color.
My awesome Letterboxd app, because that's where I check in my movies. And I am on movie number 335, which means I've got 30 to go.
More.
But Christmas break starts very soon.
Tuesday.
Well, for me, Wednesday. Mm. But
Tuesday at noon. I'm off till the second.
So, are you taking suggestions for movies right
now?
No.
I have too many on my list to watch.
Oh, okay. So you have a set list.
I do.
Okay.
Well, it's really like the movies that are on the list that when they are available for me to watch, I watch them.
What about some classics you might not have seen?
Like Paper Moon.
Did you ever watch The Paper Moon? We talked about that a while back. It's a classic. You should watch
it. So the first movie that I'm going to talk about that I watched was a movie I watched last night. It's on Netflix. It's called El Camino Christmas. It's really good. It's got Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yes.
It's got
Law and Order.
It's got
Metal Jacket.
Jessica Alba. It's got Tim Allen. And
Home Improvement.
From Home Improvement. And you know his real name is Tim Dick? And he went to prison for cocaine?
I didn't know that.
Yes, we also know that he is a hardcore Republican. Mm-hmm. And
he's really good in this movie. He's the last man standing.
He's the last man standing. It is a horrible kind of... I hate the like little...
Are you talking about the movie that I'm
talking about? I'm talking about Tim Allen, sorry.
Okay, well, he's really good in this.
I know,
like
I like
drifter,
him, but...
drunkard. Okay.
But it's hard to like him is all.
Yeah.
Another movie that I'll recommend is called Snowtime from 2015. It's
not
an animated
Snow
film.
Piercer. Oh.
No? It's an animated film about kids in a small village learning valuable lessons about life through a massive snowball fight. And it's a remake of a movie called The Dog Who Stopped the War from 1984.
None of that seems to add up verbally. But
all right,
continue.
So, moving it along.
How'd you rate those movies, Travis?
Which ones?
The last one you just mentioned.
That's right. Snowtime got 3 stars.
It was a movie.
It was okay. It was a movie.
Then,
yeah.
The other one I haven't rated yet, but
ooh, not a great
Flatliners. Mm. Let's talk about that.
Why are you the remake?
Half a star. Half a star.
I heard it was terrible.
Lowest rating I've ever given a movie.
Wow. Your lovely wife Michelle was super offended that they were going to remake that wonderful movie, and I'm sitting here thinking, why are they going to remake that terrible movie?
Just remaster it. They could have all made more money. Yeah. You know.
The first one wasn't terrible, but it was way better than this piece of garbage.
They're both
my
bad.
My official review, number 334. Not that the original was great or anything, but come on, this is garbage. These are done live, you guys. Yeah. This is when I watched the movie. All right.
That's when you get the most. I gotta mention this one.
Gotta mention this one. 1933, Ecstasy. Ooh. It's the one of the early films from Hedy Lamarr.
Oh.
Hedy Lamarr made this movie. It is a Hedy Lamarr film, an early Hedy Lamarr film that was very controversial at the time because of nude scenes and credited as the first female orgasm on screen.
I wonder if that happened while she was nude.
No, actually.
It would seem likely.
Well, there's probably some weirdness. Some David Lynch.
Finally.
Watching a puppet show, I just have to talk about thing. Sorry.
The fact that I saw Star Wars the other night on Thursday. I'm only going to give you my spoiler-free review. Okay? Is everybody ready?
It was amazing. Everyone died.
No, that's not it.
Go see it.
What is Star Wars?
What is a war of stars?
The Star Wars.
That's really good, Sean.
Do the stars?
You, this is my new favorite.
Do the stars have their own independent weapons?
Is it the original?
Yeah, that's called the original. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I could drink a lot of that. That's really good.
That ginger beer.
Mm-hmm.
I could look at it all day. I'm not really so much into drinking it. The seminar growler is amazing though.
The mosaic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're gonna can that in January.
You know, I love Seminar, but I'm particular about the beers I get from there, and this one was like a nice pour.
Sorry, no, you're fine.
We were waiting on you. No spoilers.
Hashtag number 335 in the 2017 movie marathon. First of all, I loved it. That being said,
it was good.
For the bar, great. First of all, I loved it. That being said, slightly over-influenced by elements of Empire.
Okay.
So was the last movie.
The last one was influenced by A New Hope.
New Hope, yeah.
Yeah.
But I like what I see it. I smell what you're stepping in.
And some of the passing the torch scenes were a little bit heavy-handed.
Okay. Yeah.
But overall, yeah.
I don't always need that.
An amazing installment to the franchise and a visual masterstroke.
Because he's stroking it masterfully.
Visually, this movie is amazing.
Don't wait for it to come out on DVD. Go see it in the theater.
MoviePass tomorrow.
All right, so that ends the 2017 movie marathon check-in for this week, and it brings us to the second part of our recast. It's the recast continued.
Part two. The Sword of Doom.
It's the Sword of Doom. It was directed by Keihachi Okamoto. And it currently has a 75% on Rotten Tomatoes. So let's talk a little bit about the
plot
of the movie. It's about a rogue.
I read amoral.
He's amoral.
Amoral samurai.
He's a sociopath.
This is from IMDb, and it says, Ryunosuke is a sociopathic samurai with a compassion for scruples.
scruples.
Compassion for scruples.
No,
that doesn't make
sense. Without compassion for scruples.
I was going to say, his scruples. One weakness is
scruples.
Scruples.
His only weakness is scruples.
What are
when
scruples,
he is scheduled
Travis?
For an exhibition match with his fencing school, the wife of
yeah,
his
that's
opponent,
right. He's a student.
The wife of his opponent begs Ryunosuke to throw the match, offering her own virtue in trade.
What's that mean?
What? You know what they're getting at. He accepts the offer.
Oh.
What?
But kills her husband in the match, even though it was a friendly match with Bokens. If you don't know what Bokens are, they're
I don't.
A wooden.
It's like a wooden stick.
It's a wooden version of a sword.
So he made an effort.
This guy has no scruples.
He splintered the shit out of his nose.
He was without scruples and.
But his compassion for scruples.
A bit stabby, apparently, with his
over time,
bacon.
He's pursued by the brother of the man that he killed.
Okay, yeah, that's going to happen.
And
over time,
the brother trains with a master
blood
fencer
is thick.
Named Shimada.
Shimada.
And in the meantime, however, so the guy ends up banding with these assassins, right?
Yeah. So, have you not seen this movie either?
I've seen it, yes.
You've seen it, okay.
It was very, very black and white, and...
a lot of stuff was happening. It was hard to tell.
Black and white
you
was
could,
it?
You, could, you couldn't tell it was an army, could you? It's too black and white and grainy.
It was very black and white and grainy, but the final... final go-to in the film is that he goes back to his clan of assassins.
And spoilers for a movie from 1966.
No, it's okay. Yes.
He goes back to his clan of assassins.
It's okay, Mark.
Help, 66.
But they end up, we don't know, actually. The final shot is of him, like, trying not to die.
Oh, so they may or may not accept him in the return. Okay. So, I did not see this movie. And I decided to go, like, full-blown Hollywood.
A.K.A. Caucasian.
There's a mix. There's a mix.
I'm looking at her list. She did good.
Quit looking at her list.
I'm sorry. I don't have a list.
You keep going. My eyes are up here, dude.
that's a pretty good ginger beer.
An excellent ginger
but
beer.
But director-wise, I had two choices.
You literally pointed
I think
out so finish.
We've obviously seen Quentin Tarantino do a samurai, Kill Bill. But I think he can he does that well, so he's a possibility. But my like wild card director was Darren Aronofsky. Yes, because I messed that up. But the Black Swan, the choreography, I mean, I think he has the ability to bring that. So I went with a like kind of strong cast, I think, at the, what is it? The height of their power.
Oh,
is that what we say?
Drink.
Split this so the main character, which I have written down as Ryunosuke Tsukiyu.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's not correct.
That's not a correct pronunciation.
Nice. Sorry.
But continue.
Give us your pick.
Okay. Michael Fassbender. He is the sociopath, amoral.
That's good.
Which, I mean, if you think about it, earlier I mentioned the Steve McQueen directing the original, the Rashomon, you know, going back as director. He directed Fassbender in Shame and Hunger and 12 Years a Slave. You know, he's played an array of characters with those films, so I think he has the acting chops.
Thank you.
to pull that off as the kind of, I mean, in Frank, he was that character without emotion, you know, like he
was
wearing a mask.
One of my top movies of 2016.
Right, a mask the entire time. So, and also, I just fucking love Michael Fassbender. He's a god to me. He's like my all-time favorite, and I'm surprised I haven't pulled him out yet. I've been saving him. for something, not, and I don't know why. The I wish. But
I'm gonna build on her pick. I'm gonna pick Christian Bale.
Oh, that's
since
good.
We're going sociopath.
Whoa. Yeah, right. American Psycho.
Okay,
Travis,
got it.
I think it's on Marco because, as I've said,
you have literally no picks.
The seat of my pants.
Okay, that's fine. All right, so we're gonna go back to the '90s with mine, Kerry Hiroyuki Tagawa, also known as Shang Tsung himself.
Oh, from Heroes?
From Mortal Kombat.
Oh, I see you!
That guy, yeah. So he kind of even looks like the said scrupulous samurai.
Scrupulous, yeah.
All right,
in keeping with my not having any picks for the night and just basically whitewashing all of these samurai movies, which is kind of what George Lucas did with his Star Wars.
But there was recently a big ordeal about someone playing a traditionally Japanese, like an anime they're bringing to life. And the guy stepped...
Scarlett Joho.
The male. This was a different movie. The male stepped down. The male actor stepped down because there was such controversy over him playing...
What was that?
We'd have to do some research. I wasn't expecting to bring this up.
Well, thanks for bringing it up.
When you mentioned the whitewashing, like some of these traditional stuff people do get upset about. And, you know, we were a little.
So, can I say my pick?
Yeah. Sorry.
Thanks. It's Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes, Paquito. There you go.
No, it's not. It's Vince Vaughn.
Oh, God.
Vince Vaughn. If you have not seen Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Nor will I, sir.
No, dude. Oh, watch this movie.
I don't want to see a sweaty face samurai.
I was going to say, do I really need to see Vince Vaughn sweating his chunky ass, waiting for a drink?
I'm getting a lot of static
through another movie.
But... You guys need to watch Brawl in Cell Block 99.
It's on my list. I do want to see that.
It's so good.
It's not even on my fucking radar, let alone my list. But I'll consider it. I'll look it up.
Okay.
What's it called, Cell Block?
Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Okay.
All right. Second role in the movie.
Obama.
I'm sure he was good at something.
Ohama.
Oh, Ohama.
I stand corrected. My pick Obama. Makes no sense.
I know. You actually went with Obama, didn't you? I went with Barack Obama.
The name's right there. It's right there.
The mistress. The mistress.
Yeah, my pick's really bad now.
Originally, she's the wife of the guy that he kills in the fencing match.
But then his mistress afterwards.
Becomes the mistress. Yes. So I think Marco's going first on this.
Sure, one. I'll go first. Yeah, I chose fresh off the boat's Constance Wu, who I don't really know anything about, but Constance Wu, Asian actress, probably South Korean, if I had to guess. That's what I chose.
What's the deal with the Koreans?
Apparently, they're in a lot of shows I like.
Well, I went. You went Constance Wu. I went Lucy Liu. How can we not throw her in? Again, I believe she is Chinese, partially, half Chinese, but she's a veteran and seasoned actor.
Kill Bill was half Chinese. She's full-on Chinese.
Well, she? I don't know. So. She has freckles. That's
she brought glitter.
More of a European. Mm-hmm. And anyways.
Moving forward.
So that's
never looking backward.
So it's on me for my pick for the mistress, and... I am thinking about it, and I'm thinking about somebody who is kind of known as a side project.
Whoa.
Yeah.
A side project?
Yeah, her character.
Is this a pick from Empire? Because that is just shady.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm thinking of a character actress.
Kristen Stewart?
Yes,
got it.
I barely consider her an actress. Is she a character actress?
Damn it! Yeah, Kristen Stewart is my pick for the
inside of your head.
Yeah. Damn, I'm up way outside of your head.
Also, my slow response was brought to you by the chipmunks being slowed down.
Hey, plugs are for later, okay?
All right, so bringing it to the next roll, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
And that would be the roll of...
Toranosuke?
Toshiro...
Toranosuke.
Toranosuke Shimada, as portrayed by Toshiro Mifune, who we talked about in the last movie.
He's a bit of the, like, kind of standing up.
Yeah, he's the good guy.
Yeah, he's the... Yeah.
But he's not, like, listed very high in the credits.
Okay,
he's
so...
He's the expert...
So our original...
Gets killed.
Our villain...
Our original amoral samurai that we were following sees this samurai fighting, and he's like, holy shit, maybe I'm not as good as
I
think
as
I am. So in a way, he kind of just knocks the main character down a bit. But a hero in a way, but is he completely good? I have not seen this movie, so... But I picked Idris Elba.
Idris,
sorry.
Yeah, I think we've had this conversation before.
I pick him. He's a good actor, but I'm trying to think of someone who can make Michael Fassbender look like a bitch, you know? So I'm anyone can do it, he can, right?
I think he could nail it.
Because I was also going with the Darren.
Am I next, Travis?
Afronsky version.
I have a pick.
Yes.
Ken Watanabe.
Watanabe.
Yes,
you've never
picked
him, but Mark and I have both picked him at the same time.
That's right. I guess I'm in the club.
Yes, you are.
The Watanabe club.
I'm going to go
a good pick.
With my
good pick.
With my whitewashed version. This is, guys, the
Jackie Chan.
The views,
oh, no.
The views expressed on Cinema Chop Shop do not represent the views
of any of us.
Anybody else. Probably going to go, I'm going to go Edward Norton.
Edward Norton.
Edward
as
Norton.
As this powerful samurai.
Yes.
Okay. All right, sure.
Yeah, he's going to be amazing in it. He's going to have to, like, bulk up.
A little bit.
And, like, hire a personal trainer.
He's going to
They'll
Final
never
Fear,
hire
I
him.
Remember.
You know why?
Why?
Because apparently he's a pain in the ass. He wants to rewrite scripts. He wants to...
If you haven't read the New York Times piece that Selma Hayek did, she talks about how Edward Norton was very influential in the production of Frida.
Yeah, and well, that's it's
a production.
It's a pro and a con.
Yeah,
because he does want. I love Edward Norton.
Yeah,
And I think it's amazing when an actor has perspective other than just a character they're playing, but right? Isn't that beer so good?
Yes.
It's really good.
But, you know, I think in that industry, he's pissed people off, perhaps, because he's wanted to have too much say. He should just produce it and make it himself. Let's just have him be that character and also direct it, you know?
So what I want to know is, how long have you been on retainer? As a
your
attorney
choice
against Edward Norton.
Against.
I love Edward Norton though. I actually did recently Google because I mean I've been a big fan of his. I loved even that movie Death to Smoochie, kind of like under the radar. Like it was a dark. It was such
a
weird.
I
mean, Primal Fear. Oh my
god! Primal Fear was his breakout role.
He was amazing.
Like, pre-Shyamalan twist.
Yes, that fucked you up. Like, and I can still rewatch that 3-hour movie with all the Richard Gere and Laura Linney in between. Just for the guy who played Frasier's dad, and
I'm upset that you reminded me of
and Edward Norton. She had to piss him off though for that ending scene. You know, like that's what he needed. That's what Aaron needed. Sorry, we're wrapping it up. Anyways,
are we wrapping it up? Did we
do
the last roll in Sword of Doom?
Oh, I've got the last pick.
That's right.
Yeah,
was there another roll? All
right.
No,
so
we're
my last.
On him.
Yeah, my last pick is. A cartoon character, Samurai Jack.
Oh, I didn't bring Samurai Jack up, right?
That's why I wasn't like jumping in.
Yo, that was literally character. The most samurai experience I had with Samurai Jack.
Samurai Jack is an excellent choice.
Yeah, if you don't know, he was a samurai thrown forward in time by his enemy, the evil wizard Aku, and he's trying to fight his way back to the past to change the present that he's living in.
That is amazing.
It's a good cartoon. Right?
It's a fantastic
cartoon. I haven't seen this cartoon.
You haven't seen the cartoon?
Listen, I just discovered Gravity Falls.
What is that?
Gravity Falls is on Disney XD, and it's only had two seasons. It's over canceled. Now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all up in the Degrassi. I don't even worry about that.
Listen, there's two twins, and because their parents need
two of them? And they're twins?
There's only two, but they are twins. But their parents need some space, so they send them to live with their granduncle, aka their grunkle, in Oregon, in like a really small town called
Gravity Falls.
I wish
I had a grunkle.
I've gotten multiple
to
grunkles.
Send children off to.
You guys, HQ is starting. iPhone users.
Is that your plug?
That's my, no, not yet.
HQ, send us money.
So that will kind of wrap up
so far.
All right, so we're
the bullshit recast of Sword of Doom. Right?
I would like to just formally apologize to anyone who is a fan of samurai movies, because literally just looking at how poorly I butchered the word samurai,
also
in big beautiful handwriting letters.
It was a funny episode.
It's the end of the year.
What I wanted to say is it's the holiday season. No matter what denomination or religion you are, things are busy.
Things are busy
right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they are. I'm working at a toy shop right now. Yes. My daughter thinks I work for Santa.
That's true, though.
And I keep telling her Santa is not real. And she's just pushing. I'm like, Santa is not a real thing. I don't work for Santa.
He's locked
His name
in
is
my
Bryce.
Basement.
No, I have to say, though, seriously, of all the podcasts, this one was kind of more fun because there's older movies. Mm-hmm. From the 50s that actually stand a decent chance of being remade in a really good, solid way, especially, like I said, with the right director. So it's kind of fun to read the description and try to reimagine,
So of all the movie podcasts that you've been invited onto to give your perspective, this is the best one.
Well, I just think it's more fun when you actually don't know much about the movie because we're recasting something. If it's good, what's the point of recasting and remaking it?
That
like
is
I know
the
we
entire point of this show.
I
you
get it.
Correct.
So
we are not in favor of remakes. We are not in favor of
That's why
reboots.
This was a little better, because it's an older film.
Even sequel-dependent culture is bullshit. We want to...
We blame Disney.
Yeah.
No, we...
We could even have Clint
Disney
Howard pop up as
old
Benji in one of these movies.
Fox.
Amazing.
Let's just...
you want to talk about that?
Will it mean that X-Men can be in the Marvel universe?
And the Simpsons can be in the Marvel universe.
So.
That's not cool.
Well, that might happen.
Keep the Simpsons separate.
Nope. All in one universe now.
Damn it.
All right, Ralph Wiggum versus
are we wrapping it up?
Captain Ultron, yes.
Yeah, I think it was a...
We have plugs, right?
We have plugs. Okay. All right, so first, I want to thank all of you.
Yes.
I want to thank, first of all, my boy, your boy, Mark. I call him Marco.
Anytime, buddy. Anytime.
He loves it.
It's great.
And also, my sister from another mister. I didn't mispronounce it. I just announced it. And also, the Brew Boss is back in his appropriate role.
Just a sometimes guest.
No, he just...
Rotating chair.
Okay, so he went back to the future where he's... just a co-host / regular guest. And also, I want to thank the Canadian in your brain again.
Andrew
producer
Tate, on his phone again.
He's the Canadian in your brain again. He's the phone again on your phone again.
he's not happy about what's happening.
And also... we want to remind you, the Cinema Chop Shoppers, the listeners, to please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or whatever platform you're listening to us on.
Suggestions and for movie themes or show themes.
Any comments at all, we'd welcome.
Comments at all, even a tire corrections. Fire makes the news.
Yep.
And we're on Twitter. It's at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. We're on Facebook. It's facebook.com/CinemaChopShop.
Mm-hmm.
And then our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. Is that right?
That sounds right to me.
Yeah.
No, it's AOL.com.
No.
Just kidding.
And aim is over, finally, please remember to watch Chop Retrofit.
And tip your bartenders. Every time.